What's happening locally? The news.
And it is time to take this morning's look at some of the local news stories here in the Republic of Panama. Former President Ricardo Martinelli, as well as his close friends, such as Aurora Morales Freis, all accused of the crime of money laundering in the Odebrecht case, have submitted petitions to the Federal Supreme Court, the STF for its acronym in Portuguese, of Brazil, so that evidence provided by the construction company itself is prevented from being used in its leniency agreement. Magistrate José Antonio Díaz Toffoli has already lent himself to this task, who through his practice has annulled numerous cases in Brazil and in some other countries. The information was released by the Brazilian digital newspaper Metropoles, which highlights that the petitions of Martinelli and Morales Freis to Díaz Toffoli have precedence in similar actions presented before the same magistrate by two other defendants in the Odebrecht case in Panama. These are Ricardo Francolini and Juan Antonio Nino, who already obtained the help of Díaz Toffoli, who also provided judicial assistance to former Peruvian president Ollanta Humala by removing the validity of the evidence presented against him in Peru. Among the evidence presented by the Public Ministry of Panama against Martinelli and other defendants are the reports of Odebrecht informers and evidence extracted from the encrypted communication systems Drusis and MyWebDay B. Well, these systems were those used by the so-called Structured Operations Division, or Box 2, of Odebrecht to manage the payment of bribes to politicians and authorities in Brazil, Panama, and the others where the Brazilian construction giant had a presence. The content of the two communication systems was a central part of the leniency agreement that Odebrecht signed with the Brazilian authorities and constitutes evidentiary support for the statements of the complainants, evidence that has been unilaterally invalidated by Díaz Toffoli. The dismissal of the evidence has also been requested by financial operator Rodrigo Tacla Duran, an informer who escaped from Brazil and who testified in the Spanish press about the participation of Panamanian authorities in the Odebrecht corruption scheme. Martinelli's lawyers made another request to the magistrate to prevent eight of the Odebrecht informers from being heard as witnesses in the Panamanian criminal case, whose trial, by the way, is scheduled to take place between the 12th of November and the 19th of December of this year, and as an alternate date, the days between the 20th of January and the 28th of February of 2025. Martinelli's defense alleges that his request is based on his opinion that if the evidence is null, then his testimonies would also be null. Martinelli's lawyers also made the request on behalf of Morales Freis, who, according to the Panamanian criminal case, received money from Odebrecht at the request of the former president. Sources from the Public Ministry of Panama maintain that the case against the accused in Panama has, in addition to the accumulated evidence of the informers and Odebrecht's communication systems, numerous other evidence emanating from international cooperation. In addition, there are testimonies from former President Martinelli's own children in May of 2022 in a court in New York in the United States, in which they pleaded guilty to conspiring to receive bribes from Odebrecht following instructions from their father. The children, who were expelled from the United States in January of 2023, will also be tried in Panama. And there are also confessions of frontmen who reached sentencing agreements here in Panama. Romulo Rue, presidential candidate of the allied parties Cambio Democratico and Panamanista, withdrew from the lawsuit filed before the Supreme Court of Justice against the nomination of José Raúl Molino, his rival for the Realizing Goals parties RM and Alliance. Quote, "I have said from day one that if Martinelli runs, let him run. If Molino runs, well, let him run. We don't have time to get distracted by that. We have been focused on our campaign, on touring the country, on presenting our proposal, on defending our proposal," said Rue at the headquarters of the Chamber of Commerce, Industries and Agriculture of Panama, where this Wednesday the candidates received the Country Agenda 2024-2029, a document with vital topics for the development of Panama. Is Molino's candidacy constitutional or unconstitutional? the journalists asked Roo. I'm not going to get into that because then they think the comment that I could make is political. That issue now falls to the Supreme Court of Justice, and what the court decides, well, that's what we all have to abide by, he replied. The president of the Tribunal Electoral, Alfredo Juncker, and the head of the General Directorate of Revenue, the DGI, Publio Garcia, met this Wednesday in Washington, where they are carrying out individual visits with United States authorities. In the case of the latter, DGI personnel are attending a work hearing following an invitation extended by the Criminal Investigation Division of the Internal Revenue Service to meet in Washington for a week. This is now the second time that the IRSCI invites DGI staff since last December a meeting was held, also in Washington, with the head of this division, James Lee, to address issues related to the investigations they carried out jointly on possible tax crimes. De Garcia's visit to Washington this month is to follow up on bilateral efforts against tax crimes, and this meeting will conclude this Friday. The DGI is currently carrying out several high-profile tax investigations in which the United States counterpart has shown interest. Regarding the presence of Judge Juncker in Washington, the reason for this visit has not been revealed, although the photograph and a car that accompanies the note shows him with De Garcia in the vicinity of the J. Edgar Hoover building. The headquarters of the offices of the FBI in the United States is located on Northwest Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. The meeting between almost all the candidates for mayor of the capital on Tuesday was a lesson in political civility for the candidates for the presidential seat. Unlike the first two presidential debates that night, there were no shouts, insults, either between Mayor Mizrachi, Guillermo Willy Bermudez, Ivan Blaser, Raul Ricardo Rodriguez and Edison Brosse, five of the seven candidates for the municipality with the largest budget in the country. In the Forum for Law and Political Science students at the Santa Maria La Antigua University, known as USMA, there was also no content for memes, catchy phrases such as 4x8 or interventions that would lend themselves to notes with headlines similar to 10 moments of the debate. The layout of the stage lent itself to a more relaxed and less defensive conversation. Five white armchairs, one for each mayoral candidate in this meeting. There were also no empty chairs on stage to show who was missing. If it were not for the few references to the current mayor of the capital, José Luis Fábrega, who is seeking re-election, this is nomination by the Democratic Revolutionary Party, the PRD, anyone who does not know who the seven candidates for mayor of the capital are would not have noticed his absence. Without naming him directly, Fábrega was criticized for almost doubling the municipality's payroll since he took office in 2019 and appointing officials by hand. Nor would the absence of Sergio Chelo Galvez, candidate for mayor for the Realizing Goals Party, and including the Alianza Party, have been noticed. No one made any reference to him, nor did they mention him by name or surname. Neither Fábrega nor Galvez responded to telephone calls from La Prensa, asking for them to talk about the reasons why they were absent. The format of the event, well, that was just more relaxed. Now, in light of the Panamanian debt, this was published in La Prensa, we have 10 points here which have been raised with regards to this debt. One is the Panamanian public debt now is close, as we mentioned before, to $50,000 million. In February of 2024, the balance reached $49,808 million. True in a government, this is number two of Laurentino Cortizo, which spans from July of 2019 to February of 2024. The debt of the non-financial public sector, the SPNF, has increased by $23,196 million. Debt limits the state's ability to invest. Number three, considering the total balance, the per capita debt, which was basically what each citizen owes, as we mentioned yesterday, is $11,574. In Laurentino Cortizo's mandate before he came to power, it was $6,183. Number four is almost one in every $2 of that the country owes corresponding to debt produced by the government of Laurentino Cortizo. The number five, the combination of Cortizo as president with the Minister of Economy and Finance, Hector Alexander, has practically doubled the country's obligations. Current spending, subsidies and bureaucracy, well, they're questioned. Number six, the increase in debt is the largest recorded during a presidential period, surpassing the three previous governments. It is also important to keep in mind that the balance published by the Ministry of Economy and Finance excludes the debt corresponding to the state companies ETESA, the ENA, and Tocumen SA. Number seven, the growth in debt has been justified by expenses related to the pandemic and its effects on the economy. Number eight, in February of 2024, three global bonds for a total of $3.1 billion were issued as part of the financing plan for the state's general budget. Number nine, the continued increase in debt could affect the country's ability to pay and create economic tensions for the next administration, which will need to implement austerity measures and build confidence to attract investment. And lastly, number 10, economists and financiers consulted by La Prensa have warned that over the next few years, collection will have to be relentless, given the need to pay every penny of debt. The Panamanian government has relied heavily on specific measures and accounting maneuvers to reduce fiscal deficits in the past year. In 2024 budget, the increase in spending is high at a time when Panama is promising to reduce it to meet its fiscal goals. And that's it, 10 points about the debt that we are facing, and it's not going to be an easy job for the incoming government. And this is one of the questions that really should be asked to the presidential candidates, as how this is going to be handled. Anyway, that's it. That's our look for this morning. Those are some of the stories in the local news compiled for you on this morning's programme.